Welcome to 105 The Tickets Video Game Podcast. I'm Tom Schreier. He's Max Hamilton. We've got a great show for you today. In this episode, we discuss remastered games and series we'd like to see brought back. But first, let's take a little time to talk about the Rob Gronkowski, Marshawn Lynch, and Mortal Kombat. They're playing the game on Conan. This was kind of popular around Super Bowl week. And for sports nuts like me, this is the first time I think I've heard Marshawn Lynch talk. I'm sure you're familiar with this, right?
Especially after all those press conferences. What exactly were they playing?
So they were playing Mortal Kombat X. They got like an early release. I think they were playing on PlayStation, but it's on both systems. It's one of those, and I brought this up just because before the last podcast, we had talked off the air, and I said, I'm forgetting a game. And you're like, we had talked about so many games, right?
I threw something out there that we thought was it, but it definitely wasn't.
Yeah, so I think it might have been either Oblivion or Witcher or something, and I think I kept on referring to The Witcher as The Witcher 3, which is coming out, and I'm excited about, but the one that I was referring to is supposed to be Witcher 2 that came out on 360. But this Mortal Kombat, as you know, is one of my favorite games, although I don't like it as a single-player experience. It's kind of fun. It's always been climb the ladder, and the storyline's always been very basic. It's just a reason to fight. How much do you play Mortal Kombat? I don't know.
Really only when you're around. Otherwise, yeah. I've always been more of the Soul Calibur, Super Smash Bros. Type, a little less intense.
I love Super Smash Bros., and I like Soul Calibur back kind of GameCube, PlayStation era. I thought that one was Soul Calibur 2, I think.
Yeah, I think 2 or 3, yep.
Yeah, and so that was – I like that game, but Mortal Kombat, hands down, other than maybe Smash Brothers, is my favorite like pure fighter. And I didn't include it. I think it's because we were so focused on single player experience, right? I mean, BioShock.
Right. Yeah.
Deus Ex was my favorite one, and you know, it kind of going down the line. Fallout is a single player game, but in terms of multiplayer, I just wanted to shout out kind of to Jam. To NFL Blitz was really fun, and as we get into remastered games, these are kind of remastered games. Jam, Blitz. Mortal Kombat was like Tomb Raider, where they kind of revamped it, and it's plays like an old-school Mortal Kombat game. This is Mortal Kombat for the 360.
Right, the last release?
Yeah, but they bring it, you know, for a while they were doing it where you can kind of scroll around the map or whatever, and they went back to kind of just, you know, you can only really go up and down and side to side. And I thought they did a great job with it. I didn't like it. It's not a good single-player experience. It's great not only online, it's really fun, but when you have people in the room and you really, like, I thought this, going back to the Conan video, it encapsulated that well. Like, it's just crazy when you think back on it. And like I said, I don't know if you grew up playing it, but when people walk into the room and see those fatalities and see kind of the goofy brutality of that game.
It's really, all just over the top.
Well, it just takes you for a spin. And I think the cool thing about that game is it got Lynch in his element and Gronkowski, who I always say is like an overgrown fifth grader. you get them in that element. And Conan's like the parent, you know, he's coming in and he's like, what are you guys playing? And Lynch, I don't know how much of it you saw, but Lynch said he liked playing, you know, Mario Kart growing up, that he was Toad, and Gronkowski said he'd be Bowser and run him over. And I think it's really fun to see just kind of like these guys. I mean, even the Timberwolves talk about this when we're in the locker room, like Zach LaVine and Wiggins, those guys play video games until like 3 a.m, you know, like the coaches are trying to get them to go to bed so they can get up for practice the next day, and those guys are sitting playing Xbox. So I find it funny, you know, kind of you get people out of the element when you start talking video games, something that, like, it's a pastime that it's almost become kind of universal now, that people really enjoy doing it because there's good storylines, there's your Call of Duties for the people who like shooting games, there's Mario for that kind of stuff.
Mobile games too, for just the casual gamer.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, I thought I'd just introduce that, and like I said, I think with a lot of our podcasts, we get off the air, and all of a sudden we go, and I know it's going to happen with this one too, I go, God, I forgot to talk about that game. Because like I said, we're trying to narrow an entire generation of games into top 10. I mean, it was nearly impossible, and we thought about maybe categorizing them, but we don't play every kind of game. And not only that, but that was an hour-long podcast. It would be like 3 if we went through all of them.
Yeah, we could go on all day.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just thought I'd lead in with that. And like I said, I think I like that as an introduction just because we're talking, you know, right now about remastered games and games we'd like to bring back. For you, I mean, I'm assuming it was the remastered kind of Grim Fandango and Resident Evil kind of brought this to the forefront this week for you, right?
Well, I mean, just with the move to next gen in general, there are, you know, there are a dime a dozen remakes and re-releases and all these remastered editions that are, you know, being called definitive, and they have all the content. And, you know, before we get into the specifics of actual games, there's kind of this whole area of what do people want to see from these games, and what are they doing wrong? You know, like in general, when, you know, if I already own a game, especially, and they're asking $60 for the same thing,
yeah,
there has to be some sort of enticement to get me to want to reinvest that. And the number one thing I want to see, it's got to have some sort of new content or modes or perspectives, whether that's, you know, different, you know, third person to first person like GTA did, or if,
yeah,
there's some developer commentary. Just there's got to be some sort of draw. And at the end of the day, for me, just seeing new graphics or even the same game just on a newer system, it really doesn't do it for me, and I'm fine with the nostalgia and the memories,
yeah,
of playing it before. And the big thing too that they got to do is all those re-releases, they better include any DLC that's been
I was
put
gonna
out before.
Say,
yeah,
this ties into that conversation I think we had in the first podcast, if I remember right, just about,
right,
how season passes and kind of DLC and even within games kind of paywalls
and the microtransactions
yeah, have kind of gotten out of hand. And I think one way, if you're in this business, I think, to kind of streamline everything is to have a game come out, have good DLC, not have too many microtransactions, have that kind of be optional.
Right.
And then years down the road, make sure that's a memorable game, because I think, you know what, I think, you know, a couple of years from now, we'll be talking about, yeah, let's see a remastered version of like Deus Ex or Bioshock Infinite or even, you know, Fallout, for
right,
example.
Or just a continuation of the series. And,
yeah,
and some games you can make a better argument for than others. But, you know, when they do it right, because we know that DLC and microtransactions are here to stay, like we discussed before in the first podcast, you know, they need to make their money. They just have to do it respecting the consumer. But, you know, there's definitely a wrong way to do it. And, you know, I mentioned the simple re-release where it's the exact same thing on a new console. But when the developer might get into this attitude like, we're not making a completely brand new game, it's going to be easy, we can kind of rush it, skip it. Well, that leads to broken segments, glitches,
yeah,
just things that were totally overlooked. Or there might be sections of the game that are really polished with new graphics, but other parts that look like they weren't even addressed.
Well,
at
that
all.
Was Watch Dogs, right? Watch Dogs started strong and kind of finished,
yeah, well,
up
that, I mean, that's something entirely different where that obviously was a brand new release and a new IP. But I think what happened there was they just oversold the product and they realized that they couldn't get the performance if they wanted the visuals like they were initially.
But in Assassin's problem is that it's become a yearly release, and basically that it seemed like they had worked on the next or gone on to the next project and kind of rushed this one out. Right.
Well, I mean, each game, it sounds like there's separate teams working on everything in a 3-year development cycle, but when you have that deadline and you're not willing to be flexible, that's what happens.
Yeah, but anyways, going on the remastered, you want to see the remastered graphics. You also want to see it kind of modernized, like good kind of language in terms of kind of the voiceovers. And just like, I think one of the things with Grim Fandango and with Resident Evil specifically is tank controls worked maybe at one time. At this point, you have to at least offer the option of kind of a traditional, you know, kind of controller, right? Where you
Grim Fandango is on my list to play. I didn't play the original, but it was really kind of a cult hit and had this big following, but it was also the last really big budget point and click, well, tank controls back then, but technically a point and click adventure game where I believe it was LucasArts, and they put all this money into it and it didn't sell as well. It just got that, you know, cult following, and they kind of saw these big developers leaving towards smaller studios or breaking off and doing their own thing because of it. So it really just depends on you know, the original audience and who they think they can target when they re-release.
Well, and I think another key that we should touch on is if you have a remastered game, that should be able to be an introduction to the series, right? I mean, we talk about it kind of with Mortal Kombat and Tomb Raider, that those games which aren't remastered but they're bringing the series back, you have to kind of capture a new audience with that. New people need to be introduced to Lara Croft, new people with Raiden and stuff.
Not only do you have to make sure that it's a good experience story-wise and gameplay-wise, but you have to keep in mind that you're trying to capture a whole new audience because these people weren't around when it released. And Tomb Raider is a good example for me because I had never played a Tomb Raider game before that.
Yeah.
That was my first one. And I first saw it in the Game Informer article and followed it in the development and the demos and E3 and all that, and played it and loved it. It was a great game.
Yeah, and with Resident Evil, it seems like those guys are trying to introduce people to Resident Evil, knowing that that series is going to continue, and that, you know, I think a lot of people, obviously, way back when, or even, you know, with the GameCube game, got hooked on kind of the remaster version. So like I said, I think that the key is to have those visuals, have the voiceovers, have kind of modern controls, And like you said, if there was any DLC or any additional kind of elements to the game, they should all be included in that original package.
Right. And, you know, we could get into some specific games now and the stuff that we felt that was done right, and maybe some games where they lack some vision or we're just kind of rehashing the exact same thing. For you, like, what's your top game that comes to mind when
I'm trying to think of a remastered game I played that I didn't play the original one, and I'm struggling to think of one, but Banjo-Kazooie was one I thought they did well. It was a game I really enjoyed.
Yeah, was that one of the 360 launch titles?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was, so in the arcade, and then Perfect Dark was another one. I thought Perfect Dark was really... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I forgot about Perfect Dark. That's a good example. It's too bad that it didn't do well enough to keep the series going. I know they actually even remade the original.
That's what I was talking about. So I played the original, and then I think I played Perfect Dark Zero, although I don't own it.
Yeah, Zero was, it was fun. It was pretty flawed though.
I think the problem with that is that it was an original release title, and we talked about this in a previous podcast. It's so hard with next generation games to kind of, you go from people who have mastered the old generation to all of a sudden everyone's figuring out how to use kind of new generation technology. And I feel like maybe it was just released at the wrong time where it was a name and that it was a good launch title from a marketing perspective.
Yeah, it caught everyone's attention.
But but on the flip side, it wasn't as well executed because people were dealing with this new 360 or PlayStation 3 technology. But I feel like I did like the Perfect Dark remastered game. It was one I really enjoyed and I felt like got a little overlooked because everyone talks about GoldenEye. And I feel like the Perfect Dark was almost kind of like, although it wasn't a James Bond game, it was kind of GoldenEye, like, perfected. They did the multiplayer well. The single-player campaign was fun. It was compelling characters, obviously fun action. And I think those two come to mind right away. I would say NBA Jam is kind of somewhere in the middle where, like I said, they're kind of bringing back an old game with new players in it, like modern players. NFL Blitz was another one, as I said earlier in the podcast. I really do like how they kind of brought those into the next generation. I hope they continue that with Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And like I said, I think either you have to do that where you go the arcade version, which is like 20 bucks, or you have to be like Mortal Kombat or Tomb Raider where it goes right in the next generation as a full-fledged game. And that, in my mind, that's how you got
to
do it.
And I think one of the keys is you have to have had enough time to pass before you do this re-release. And you know, contrary to that, though, my top game that comes to mind when I think of a remastered game is Grand Theft Auto V. I mean, they gave you the whole new mode, the first-person mode.
Yeah.
There was brand-new content, added music and radio stations and the voiceovers, and online, obviously, is going to be forever expanding, but... you know, I paid full price and pre-ordered for the first one for the 360, and they didn't announce any other console versions, but everyone kind of knew it was coming, so I kind of waited. But, you know, when it came out and I saw everything, and I'm still playing through it and doing the first-person stuff and all the extra content, and it's a fantastic game. Like, that is a re-release done perfect. Go ahead.
Not only that, we talk with Rockstar about how they're kind of flawless in their execution. Like, yeah, we hear, you know, one release date and you almost kind of know that it's coming out 2 months after that. But what they do well is that when they remaster that game, you know, I love the online portion of that. And it's gotten to the point where when you play 360, you know, like three or four games into it, you're probably going to get bumped and you have to reboot it, right? Which takes forever. This one has been pretty good along the lines of when I'm playing with you or playing with Wags or other people, I don't feel like there's kind of that impending, like, almost like a timer where you know you're going to get booted at some point because everyone's online.
Or it's going to freeze up. They fixed a lot of the problems.
Yeah, and issues. Not only that, but they made it look better. Like, it does, it was great graphics.
Well, I mean, part of that was just the processing power. Yeah. I know the PS4s, they released some side-by-side photos, and it's got the graphical advantage to an extent. But, I mean, just the amount of content and things happening on screen and the draw distances and everything, they did an insane job, and they had to have been working on that for a while, knowing it was coming, because the first person stuff, they had to remodel everything and do the interiors of the cars and the motions and the hands and the guns and all that and the attachments. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So like I said, I think that was a well executed one. Diablo 3, I think we both agreed.
Yeah, Diablo, I would put it my number two, and it's kind of funny because the game, and we touched on this before, but the game came out in 2012, and it's now nothing at all like it was when it released. They fixed everything. The graphics are better. Playing with a controller is so much more rewarding, I think, than using a point and click or just holding down the mouse. You just have that much more control, and most PC games, or most games in general, you would argue the opposite, that it's better on PC.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that and them bundling the DLC in and the new character and having it at a reasonable price, I think it was a really fair release.
Yeah, and so you can speak to the original one, and I only played that with you a little bit, but as someone who my entry point was the Reaper of Souls, kind of the Xbox One version. It's a game I'm hooked on. It's a game that I think I'll play through two or three times. Obviously, we need to get playing it. I know we talk
about
it all the time.
Yeah,
but like I said, I think it's a game that also it's easy to get your friends into it because you say, hey, just play a little bit, and then the game somehow evens out the enemies, where if you're all different levels, they kind of even out, their difficulty, which I think is interesting.
Kind of was it Borderlands that does that? I want to say, but yeah, it's a pretty common thing. So, you can play with each other and you're not overpowered or getting blown away.
Again, well executed. It's fun environments. I think that to my knowledge, and this is just reading up on it, but you can play through different kinds of characters and you feel like it's a different experience. And like I said, I think it's unfortunate it was released kind of wonky and that they didn't have the loot system down and there was other flaws within the game. But
Well, and a lot of that was just the PC community issues with the auction house and as soon as it hit the 360, it was great for the most part. It was just that I think they perfected it with the next gen or the current gen release.
Yeah, so. And so like I said, that's one of my favorite games that I'm playing right now. Again, a remastered one, and I think that Wags hasn't played a Diablo game. I think that I told him, you can get it for about, I got it for $35. You can get it anywhere from $30 to $40 now. And I feel like that's a very fair price for that game. I would have paid $60 for it, to be honest with you. And it just, I was introduced to it later. But I feel like he could get into it, even as someone who never played Diablo 1 or 2.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great starting point. And you can pretty much put together the lore of the other games. One other one that I think definitely needs to be mentioned, Nintendo came out a few months ago with a surprise. It was an announcement that they're remaking Majora's Mask for the 3DS. And good on Nintendo, they had a review embargo of a week prior to the launch, and so it's coming out next Tuesday. The reviews are out, and everyone's raving about it. It's getting nines and tens, and people kind of knew that was coming because, the game's been out. They just made some adjustments to it.
Yeah.
This is a game done right. It's remastered. The controls are obviously going to be pursuant to the 3DS, but there's been gameplay elements changed to make it more convenient. I know one example I was reading up on was that the point of the game is to collect all the masks. And before, the masks would be in really just random spots, and you'd have no reason to go looking for it there. And now they've, put them in, if you need a certain mask for a certain dungeon, that mask is going to be found there now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cult classic like we talked about with the other game and, Grim Fandango.
Yep.
But I think it's a great jumping on point for the people that were too young to have a 64 or grow up with those first 3D Zelda titles.
Well, and it's a really smart idea just because you have this new open world, Zelda game coming up. And I think that this is a way – we talked about this, I think, in the first podcast that, I will play the next Witcher – because I played Witcher 2 for $5.
And you never played the first one, right?
Yeah, and I never played the first one. And BioShock Infinite, I played for $10. I will play the next BioShock game that comes out. And I'd say that for a lot of games that kind of, again, I may have missed, and then you introduced me to it. And like I said, I think this is a good way. Younger kids, if you played N64, it's maybe less likely you'd have a 3DS. But I think with younger kids, that's a way to introduce them, and then they go play the open world one on Wii. So I think that's a really smart marketing strategy. And like I said, that's why you do the remastered right. That's why you use resources, I guess, to get that right.
Right. And, the other side of things is there's these games that are coming out rushed, and they're calling them remastered and re-released and all that, but they're just done wrong. And the most recent one that comes to mind for me is the Halo Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
Redid all the games with Master Chief in it, and some were remastered, like the original Halo Combat Evolved, but that was already kind of done before. And other ones were just re-released, and the biggest thing that was drawing people in is it had the multiplayer, and it was from all the games and combined, but they're still working on fixing that, and that came out a month or two ago. just completely broken and unplayable. And, you know, they offered free DLC. They're going to remake ODST and give it to everyone that bought in. But it's kind of the Assassin's Creed Unity problem, you know?
Yeah.
It's a broken game. They're trying to fix it with free stuff. And really, like, the seller of that game, I think, is that they gave a beta for the Halo 5 multiplayer, and it just seems kind of sneaky, you know, because there's no way they didn't know that it was broken.
Yeah, no. So, like I said, I think you still have to do it right. This is still – it's maybe not on the magnitude of it, Unity, but like I said, I think that you can actually turn people away from an otherwise good product coming up, you know, down the road because the remastered one is done poorly.
Right.
I'd say Tomb Raider is another one. Like I said, introducing new people to it, like with you. And, I wouldn't have bought it for $60, but I bought the original game full price, and then I saw a sale, and I think I picked up for $20, and I just wanted to play it again. And it's getting to the point where I think my 360 has a little bit of a shelf life. Like,
right.
I know it's when
not
it starts
to last forever.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, when it starts sounding like a car engine, you know that it's on its last leg.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I wanted an Xbox One game. I knew I'd be playing it over time. That's another really well done game. The graphics are a little bit better. They've kind of added little elements, taken away some things.
Yeah. Everyone talked about her new hairdo in the re-release, or just the fixed hair. But you know that they did that one right. Graphics were obviously improved, but they included all the DLC and stuff. My thing is, like, you know, that game just had come out, and I think that was really the first big title to be re-released on the next gen. And you got to watch out for those kind of lackluster experiences. Like, Saints Row 4 is the next one that's coming up.
Yeah.
And they're at least bundling it with the base game and the DLC, the Get Out of Hell stuff. And my issue with that is that I think it's coming for full price, and I get it's a way for people that haven't played it to play it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not that old of a game, and they're doing absolutely nothing new with it. The graphics are going to be fairly similar.
Not only that, but they released 3 as a Games with Gold, and I thought that was a great, you know.
3, I think, was their peak. That was an amazing
game. Yeah, and that's the problem, is you're actually not introducing probably the best game. But not only that, you can play 3 right now, and it looks good. There's
right,
no
it
reason
does.
To remaster
There was
that.
Really no change between 4 and 3. And it's funny, because 4 was initially going to be DLC for 4-3, just an expansion.
Yeah.
And obviously they kept going with it and turned it into their own game. And for me, it didn't hit the same notes that 3 hit, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with it. But another similar game that's doing this now is Borderlands. It's coming out on the next gen, and it is the best value I think you will ever see, because you get 2 whole games, all the DLC, and there was a significant amount of DLC for both those, and some of it's still coming out. And I'll say that they do a great job of supporting the game post-launch.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, unless you ever – or you never played those before – you're paying $60 for the exact same thing, just in a bundle and on next gen.
Yeah, and we discussed that a little bit, just because we're trying to play that game together. I think if you're in the same spot as us, where you're playing it on your own, you're playing with a friend, and you want to bring it to the next generation, it's probably good value.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is I didn't pick up the pre-sequel, and I don't have all the DLC. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, you're caught a little bit in the rock and the hard place, knowing that you probably could play it on your old gen
and
system.
It is nice that it carries over, but, you know, so there's the convenience factor. At the end of the day, it's just the pre-sequel didn't really draw my interest, and I think I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the final thing before we kind of have a little break here is that there's a couple games I want to see remastered. Jet Force Gemini was one. I don't know if you ever played that, but Rareware title.
No, I miss that.
So that was N64 Rareware title. I think that people would like it if they're reintroduced to it with higher graphics, more processing power. Rampage, I don't know if you're a Rampage guy, but I thought that was kind of a fun, it was a 3-player game, very rare, like
three or
game.
4, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was kind of fun characters, it's pretty easy to get into. What they could do with that, instead of simply remastering it, would be to add kind of more, you know, you go, it's a world tour, so you go like all around, you know, the U.S. and then all around the world, and I think they could add more to the cities and make it more, you know, distinguish San Francisco from Chicago, from, you know, New York, from Dallas, from San Antonio or whatever. And I think, you know, if you had better looking buildings and you made it a little bit bigger, I think that could be kind of popular, at least in terms of a $15 game or whatever. The final one for me is Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I really like the concept of the game where, you know, you're cruising around and you got the police chasing after you, and they have different techniques that, you know, they're shooting down at you, or they set up traps.
Kind of like Well, I know they did that with the original Most Wanted, and then they had that reboot Most Wanted.
Yeah.
And I bought it day one. I didn't follow up too much on it, and I was expecting the same experience where you're trying to trick the cops and all this stuff, and they completely got rid of it. They gutted it.
Yeah, so I think that's a series that probably needs a little bit of a reboot and kind of, you know, like almost a clean slate. And I think that that's a way to bring back the best possible product and then build off of it, have kind of a series form after it. That's... In my mind, that was the best Need for Speed, and I'd like to see that one come back.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
All right, do we got any final things before break?
Let's take a break, and then we'll kind of wrap up and go into some current games that we're playing. All right, welcome back. So we've been talking about games that have been remade, re-released, and there's a couple honorable mentions that you should definitely look into if you're a current gen player and you want to get in on some of the last games that have come out during the 360 and PS3's life cycle. Number one that I hear great things about, and when I pick up a PS4, it's definitely going to be the first title I get, is Last of Us Remastered. And it's kind of cool, and an aspect we didn't really talk about yet with all these re-releases is that the people that didn't have a PS3 or 360 that are now jumping brands to the other side for this generation, it's a great way for them to play these hit games that they never got their hands on before because they didn't have the console or friends that did. And The Last of Us is definitely one of those, and I'm looking forward to being able to, you know, try the Infamous series. And
well, because that's you, right? I mean, you were an Xbox guy who's thinking about PS4.
Yeah,
right?
No, I'm definitely looking to get both. I obviously started with the One, and I'll have to get a Nintendo once that Zelda game comes out.
I'm
that's
thinking
just
I
amazing.
Might too.
But and it's too bad because I just saw today that PS4 will not be having a price cut anytime soon because they're rocking it right now.
Yeah.
So I'll wait for that Wii to drop.
I want to ask that real quick before we get back to this. Do you feel like, I know there's an article that came out, I think on GameSpot, and it was Kevin Van Oort made an argument that you should get a PlayStation 4 with kind of these, you know, No Man's Sky, Last of Us, Uncharted coming out. And Uncharted, like I said, having read about it, looks like a pretty exciting game. Do you feel like, they're tipping the scales? I think PlayStation got off to a good start.
I don't
think
so at all. I mean, Xbox has its exclusives, and it always has, and PS4 just has, you know, Xbox has already had a lot of exclusives launched on the One.
Yeah.
And PlayStation really didn't have a big exclusive launch lineup. So now you're hearing about all these exclusives, and Xbox has dried up a little bit in that department. But that's just because PS4s were pushed back or just not set to release at launch.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're tipping the scales in that sense. And another thing is that the word exclusive these days has become almost solely to mean that it is on one console and not the other, and obviously it's time because a lot of things are on PC now, and I have a pretty nice PC gaming laptop, so a lot of these games that are, you know, quote unquote Sony exclusives, I can find on there. Granted, not The Last of Us or anything like that, not their main brand, but you know, for the other ones, I'm content playing them on PC for now.
I also wonder with kind of Windows 10 if Xbox and Windows slowly are going to become kind of the same thing. Like your Xbox will become your like PC console. And
yeah,
like...
I mean they've already said that they're looking to streamline everything. You're going to be able to stream your Xbox One through your PC and vice versa, I would assume. And obviously the interface and the dashboards are going to use the same tech and look the same. So I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think going back to your original point, like the, you know, you can use these remastered games to kind of rebooted series as a way to get people to get that next console, again emphasizing the point that these have to be well done.
Right. And you know, another couple of well done games to look into, Metro Last Light and 32 was the first one, 33 was the second, I think. But yeah, there was a Metro Redux, and it bundled both games together, completely revised graphics and AI and things like that. And it was a title that launched to praise, but it was kind of a small audience that it hit. So that's a good one to get on if you haven't checked that out.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask. I haven't played that series yet. Yeah, you recommend that?
Yeah, it's not completely horror survival, but it's definitely a darker, kind of morbid story, and there's some sort of monsters and you know, things in the dark to watch out for. So it's not for everyone, but it is a great, fun, well done story. It's linear, it's not quite Call of Duty, but it's got some pretty cool set piece moments. One other one, actually two that came to mind to throw out there, Number one, Sleeping Dogs. Completely redone game graphics-wise. It released a while ago, so I think there's been enough time to hit that audience that never played it the first time, and it was kind of under the radar of a lot of people. But yeah, again, new content, tweaked the visuals and AI, included all the DLC, and for that game there's quite a bit, so that was good. And the final one I want to throw out there is Dark Souls 2. I know something that you probably would stray from. Not a huge fan of the killer games like that. Still working my way through the first one. Sampled the second. It's brutal, but
brutally hard.
Brutally hard. Yep. But the this re-release, the Scholar of the First Sin game, it's completely revised. They're remapping where enemies are spawning. They're changing the AI. They're adding characters. They're upping the graphics. They're patching in stuff for pre-existing owners. They won't get everything like the DLC, and there's some compatibility issues with the graphics, but the amount of effort that they're putting into this game to just completely change stuff and add an alternate ending and a new boss fight and things that were not in the original game to make it even harder for the sadists among us, it is pretty cool that they're going to those lengths.
Yeah, and I was going to say, we talked a little bit about kind of new series, like what could use a reboot.
Right.
Were you ever a Time Splitters guy?
I'd heard great things. I never played it.
Yeah,
though.
So Time Splitters 2 was cool. It was built kind of like a, you know, we talk about kind of, this is going way back, but from N64 to, you know, GameCube or kind of that PlayStation Xbox era, it felt like, it played like GoldenEye, a little bit like Perfect Dark. And in fact, the first level, if you remember GoldenEye, it feels like that dam, you know, obviously, which they used from the movie. But they, you know, it brings you kind of to kind of the old school gangster, like American Gangster kind of era. And it also, I'm trying to think of where else it took you, but it took you to various places in time, kind of into space and all sorts of stuff. And you felt like you got, you know, maybe 5 to 10 different experiences in one game.
Sure.
I think they kind of went the wrong way in terms of one player with the, it was called Future Perfect, which was kind of the next release. And it was one, instead of kind of taking the live of like, a different person each time you went into a different, you know, time zone or whatever, you were just one single guy who kind of went through various places in time. I think it was fun playing as different characters, kind of learning a little bit about them, and kind of like you enter their lives just for a short, you know, like,
sure,
you know, level or whatever. So it was a goth level or whatever, and
kind of in and out.
Yeah, and so you kind of learn these new characters right away, and exactly. And I think with more processing power and more kind of time to develop a story, that would be a really fun game. One thing that Future Perfect did well is that they had a fun multiplayer. It was a very, like, unique characters, and it wasn't like you're kind of – the one knock on Grand Theft Auto is everyone's character kind of looks the same with different clothes and different, you know,
sure,
facial
yeah,
hair.
Not a whole lot of customization unless you put the time into it, really.
Yeah, and even in terms of height, like, you don't really see a height differential between those guys and stuff.
Right,
so like
and said, you're moving so fast, and it's, you know.
That's not the point of that game. You know, right. The point of that game is kind of everything else you can do with it. And like I said, you custom enough, you feel like it's your own character. But this, you know, the range from, you know, human beings to cybots to, you know, like American Gangster kind of, you know, people with top hats and Al Capone kind of era.
Sure.
I felt like I said, I think I felt like playing that multiplayer game, there were so many different characters to choose from. You didn't need to customize them to feel like it was kind of your own. You found something that you liked, and then you went and competed with everyone else. So, I don't know. Time Splitters was one. And then, I don't know if you ever played Freedom Fighters, kind of an under-the-radar game.
You know, I definitely heard of it. You had it for the GameCube, right?
Yeah. So, GameCube, PlayStation, Xbox era again. And it was, I don't even know how to perfectly describe it, kind of an alternate universe, I think, like the Soviets had taken over or something. And you're underground, I think quite literally, trying to fight back as kind of for American freedom or whatever. And it was pretty well executed. It was fun to play. I felt like it just got lost in the wash because there wasn't anything like defining about it. It didn't change how gameplay was done.
Didn't stand out from the rest of the games.
Just a good story. And like I said, you know this. Like, I love a good story. I thought it was a pretty well executed story. There's actually kind of two parts. So just when you're kind of feeling, I'm a little tired of this, they go into another, you know, I think you actually move underground literally for the second part. And you know, you change the home base, change some of the characters, and it was a nice kind of refresh that allowed you to play the game for a couple more hours while feeling like you were getting new content. That's something that, like I said, I think when you have a reboot or a remaster, you bring that out because people haven't played it before. Maybe it introduces something that was a good product. It's kind of what, you know, Games with Gold or what, you know, PlayStation's doing with releasing, you know, free games, is you kind of introduce something that maybe, you know, wasn't as purchased or wasn't as popular as it should have been.
You get the attention out there, and then people are going to go buy the brand during the next release of that or the next iteration.
Yeah, so that was my two. I don't know if you had any series you want to brought back or anything.
Well, there's definitely a series I'd like to see brought back. I'd like to see a throwback to the Red Faction Guerrilla, because that was a great game, and that kind of reminded me when you were just talking.
That was a free one, too, on Xbox.
Similar premise, almost. But, you know, a couple games I would kill to see remastered. Oblivion. I kind of mentioned one of the other podcasts that I love it. I play the hell out of Skyrim, and I have the PC mods. But Oblivion's just, it's painful to go back and play because the graphics didn't age well. And, you know, even Skyrim didn't launch with the best of graphics until you had all those mods. But the potential here for a re-release, I mean, you have all the fan mods on PC and the content that they've created in the shape of missions and characters and voiceovers and even entire expansions. So it would be cool to see that. And I know it's a series that's continuing on. I mean, once they get... Elder Scrolls Online launched here, and it's on PC. It's gone free to play now, and it's coming out for the consoles. I'm sure we'll hear about their next game in the series, or maybe even Fallout 4 finally. Mercenaries. Did you ever play that?
No.
The original for the Xbox? It was one of the coolest games at the time. It's actually why I bought an Xbox. My uncle had it, and I would go over to his place all the time to play this game, and it was great. I know they released a second one for the 360, and it was just kind of it flopped. It was a game. It's third person, and you are dropped into North Korea, and your job is to take out this entire deck of cards. And there's missions and factions, and you can either assassinate them or capture them alive. You have a whole fleet of military vehicles to use, and the factions will help as well. And there's this black market where you can buy and sell, like, airstrikes and bombs and new weapons and helicopters and all sorts of stuff. And there were collectibles, and it was a wide-open area, and it was really a fantastic game. It was super cool. And then EA, of course, tried to capitalize that on that with a sequel, and it flopped. And they didn't have microtransactions per se, but a lot of the resources were super limited or just a pain to acquire, and it just kind of ruined it. But, yeah, that original, I would love a remake of that because it was fantastic. And this last one came to mind, and it might be sort of an unpopular opinion at this time, but Red Dead Redemption. If they did a re-release on current gens, I mean, the graphics are aging great with that game, but it would be pretty cool to see it on GTA 5's level.
Yeah.
And if they threw in a first-person mode in that game, that would be insane.
It would be an interesting strategy, just again, from the marketing standpoint of the next Red Dead Redemption. And there were so many people that was their number one game. I feel like that was in my top five.
And I honestly think we're going to see the next one this year. At least, you know, the news of it or some gameplay or something.
But it would be an interesting idea to maybe bring a remastered version in with the zombies and all that stuff.
Yeah, the DLC for that was fantastic.
Well, maybe announce them in tandem. Say, hey, we have the remastered version out, and by the way, you can pick up this game, you know, like and start tracking it. I just, the one thing with those, like with Oblivion and with Red Dead, is I think they're worth playing through. But because it's so time intensive, you know, like Rampage, you can literally play for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's an arcade game.
Or Jam or something like that. Yep. But like with those, they're so time intensive. I think that you have to almost have a purpose behind it. But Red Dead was one. Very few people probably missed it. But if you did miss it, it's one of those I think most people have it in their top five from the last gen.
Yeah, I mean, even of all time, that game was just so well done story wise and graphics and length
gameplay,
and just content.
All
it was great. Well, I mean, that kind of wraps up my thoughts on the status of all these remakes and re-releases. But
I feel like we should touch on the games we're playing right now.
Yeah, talk a little bit about what's going on, what you're looking forward to. I'm still on Dying Light from last week, working my way through that. Not really anything new to say, but I gotta say that the reviews are holding up. It's a good game. It's worth checking out if you're looking to get your zombie fix.
Yep.
And yeah, what about you? What are you on?
So I think I've talked to you about this, but basically I have a 360 that's dying, and the Xbox One.
Trying to milk it while you take it off of life support.
Yeah, literally, it's ridiculous. But like that game, there's aside from I play Jam occasionally, I play Mortal Kombat. I play some Blitz, obviously, when people are around, but when, you know, by myself, three Bethesda games, which actually I got introduced late. You introduced them to me, and you're like, you have to play these. And Fallout was one, again, I was hesitant to play. I think I said this before because I thought it was a survival horror, and it really isn't. It's just kind of an open world with some ghouls. And
It's obviously got some creepy parts, but it's definitely not falling under the horror genre.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. There's nothing that shocks you or anything. Yeah, so I don't know. I beat Fallout 3, but I'm playing the DLC now, which, again, they kind of re-released it with all the content. And then I still need to play New Vegas, but that I'll be playing for a while.
Yeah, until your box dies, basically.
Yeah, basically. Skyrim, I'm playing through, and like I said, that's more one if I'm kind of feeling the environment or I just, like, I have some time to kill, maybe, again, as someone who writes about sports, if, you know, Wolves are down by 30 in the, you know, the first quarter, second quarter.
Something to distract you.
Yeah, something like that where I can kind of almost watch the game while also...
I mean, you can just meander, explore, and you're going to come across stuff that's going to pull you, draw you in.
So a fun game, except as someone who's so story-driven, I have some trouble with that just because, like I said, it's not... Fallout at least kind of has a path, and then Dishonored would be the third one I'm playing on Xbox 360 or, you know, of that generation. And I think Dishonored's one that's very linear. It's very much... I think you have to play it twice. I think that you have to, if you're high chaos, you got to play low chaos. If you're low chaos, you have to play high chaos. Again, you'd have to play the game to understand what I'm saying there. But I think it's worth a second playthrough. And then on the Xbox One, GTA Online, I'm playing quite a bit again, kind of with this right setting, you know, when people I know are online. Tomb Raider, kind of meandering through it. I enjoy it the second time around. I think it's actually a lot better. Kind of you appreciate little things you didn't pick up on the first time. Sunset Overdrive, which is fun. I feel like in terms of how it's going to hold up against other, you know, exclusives like a Uncharted or like a Last of Us, I kind of wonder how it's going to, you know, hold water against that.
I think it's just not, you know, we'll see what happens when they eventually make another one, I'm sure. But I think it just kind of missed the mark as far as
it's
hitting a smaller audience. You know, it's a great game, but just not a lot
of
people are interested to buy it.
That's what I'd say. And I'd say Uncharted probably is a must-have on that console. And we'll see if, you know, No Man's Sky or something like that. But Dragon Age Inquisition, I plan on playing this for a long time. I'm not really rushing through it at all. I kind of play it.
Yeah, just pacing yourself.
Yeah, it's just something that I enjoy the environment when I'm in it. And I think that, like I said, over time, I think you want to kind of explore every nook and cranny, because especially with the characters that are there, I think you really feel like at the end of those games, you feel like you kind of know who's in your crew and stuff like that. And then Diablo 3, I think again, great multiplayer game. I think I'll be playing that one or two, you know, three times through just because it's so well done.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for Majora's Mask to come out next week. I've been tinkering around with Steam and some of the early access games. Just picked up a thing called Stranded Deep for $15 on early access, which... do you have Steam or any PC stuff? Or
unfortunately not a big PC gamer.
Well, for anyone who doesn't know, like, Steam, with a lot of games, to kind of do the alpha and beta testing, you can pay to have full access to everything that's out so far. And so that's what I did with this game. And it's, you know, the basis of the game is it's like Castaway. It's a Castaway simulator. So you're on a plane, it crashes in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I believe. You survive the wreckage, you find a little life raft, and you go to an island. And the whole game is about crafting and survival and finding all this stuff and monitoring your vitals. And it's cool because, you know, you start with a knife, and you can find things like a compass or an air tank or shipwrecks, and you can dive underwater to find supplies, and you can chop down trees, and you'll have to physically move all these items together in one place, and then you can craft... like supports or a floor or a wall or more tools or just things to survive. And the goal right now is to just see how many days you can make it. But there's, you know, whales and sharks and enemies and weather effects, and it's a very cool concept, and it's pretty empty right now, but, you know, where it's eventually going, I'm assuming you're going to try to get rescued or have some story or missions or who knows, maybe some co-op in there. And it's a pretty good-looking, fun experience to kill some time for just $15, and it's pretty great because they throw in some lost – or not lost – Castaway references, like you can find Wilson the bloody soccer ball in the FedEx crate and all that stuff. But yeah, also killing some time with just wrapping up the GTA 5 bonus content. Picked up the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare Havoc DLC. Pretty iffy on paying so much for a map pack, $15 for it. I know you can get the season pass for $50. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the zombie mode, a new weapon, some stuff, content, like visual stuff, and three maps. But you know what? It's fun. It's a good game. They knew what they were doing with it. So at the end of the day, I'm not losing any sleep over it.
That makes sense. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, stay tuned to see what we come up with next week for you, and that's about it.
Sounds good. This has been one of my Tickets Video Game Podcast. Thanks for listening.